You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. When you hear that music, you know it's time for Sheil Kapadia of The Ringer, who gets that music exclusively. Sheil is sponsored by Dr. Raffi and Precision Hair Restoration. You'll keep losing your hair until you stop it. Dr. Raffi can help you get your confidence back. Visit PhillyHairMD.com today. Sheil, how are we feeling?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
So pretty good, brother.
So we're going to ask you your go-to meat, but you are a vegetarian. As I may have heard you say that prior, but you're a vegetarian.
Yeah, I can't help you there. You know, yeah. I like to answer every question. I don't like to duck questions, but I got nothing.
Are you a fraud like Giglio and you eat fish, or are you an actual vegetarian?
No. Yeah, I never understood that. No, I'm not eating fish.
Okay.
You're not a fraud. I mean, yeah. Giglio is a total and complete fraud.
Yeah, total fraud. So, Sheil, Jalen Hurts has not turned the ball over for 2 weeks. The Eagles have won both games. Just to level set, how well do you think he's played in those two games?
I don't think he played very well last game. If you're just looking down to down, how did he perform? Like you said, there are good things you can take away from it. He didn't turn the football over. He hit an explosive play. He made some plays with his legs, but he dropped back to pass 21 times. And 7 times he either got sacked or had to scramble. I mean, the passing game is not at the level that everybody thought it would be when they brought in Kellen Moore. So it's a certain formula they can use and a certain way they're playing right now to win some games. But if you're just isolating Hurts in the passing game, I don't think anyone would look at that and say that's clicking on all cylinders.
So, you know, you don't need to be to win. We don't need Patrick Mahomes. We don't need Joe Burrow. We don't need Josh Allen. I think that's fair. To win a Super Bowl, you can win. That makes it harder.
You almost do need Patrick Mahomes to win a Super Bowl.
You think?
Well, he seems to be the only one who wins.
Well, as long as he's alive, yes. So I guess given that context, how far away, if there's a way that you can quantify it, how far away do you think how he is now as a quarterback and how he's played, how far away is that from what we need or what would be a quarterback that would make you feel confident that this is an NFC contender?
Yeah, I mean, they've got some ways to go. I was thinking back to what Ike said during this call a couple of weeks ago where he was talking about Hurts being a game manager, and it kind of caught me off guard. But if you look at the way they've played here the last 2 weeks, they're running the football at a higher rate, way higher rate than they did before the bye, and a way higher rate than they did last season. So I think they looked at the offense and said, we might not be the passing team that we thought we were going to be coming into the season, and let's make some changes and let's change how we play. And so, there's no sugarcoating it with the passing game. We see it with our eyes. You see it on film. The numbers back it up. I mean, when they can hit explosive plays on the outside, when they get one high safety and they can go to A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith on the outside, they can create explosive plays. Beyond that, there's not a whole lot of, a whole lot to this.
Because he's a bum.
What's that?
No, that's
Jack. Sorry.
I've told Jack a number of times that when he plays the drops and there's people on the phone, it's confusing.
Yes, we went over this, Jack. It was 2 weeks ago. I thought I reamed him out, guy. You know, I don't know. I guess my message,
no, I know. It's my bad. I can't help myself.
I mean, they were 1-for-13 on third down last week, and the only conversion was a scramble. So they've got a ways to go to answer your questions in a very long way that included Jack playing a sound effect.
So final question on that, because I actually have no idea here. How much of this could be attributed to a new offensive coordinator whose offenses have looked not super different from what they ran before, but different enough? How much could it be attributed to Jalen getting comfortable with what Kellen Moore would want to do ultimately?
I mean, it's possible, but my issue with that is when you look at some of the issues he's had, and, you know, they pointed it out during the broadcast last week, a couple of the throws he turned down, those aren't new plays in the Eagles offense. They've been running that since the day Jalen Hurts got here. So, you know, the film, the rewatches, all that, it's not like, wow, these are brand new things. Now, there is some new stuff for sure. The motion, him getting people lined up before the snap and taking on those Jason Kelce responsibilities. So that's an area where certainly it could improve. He could get more comfortable in as the season goes on. But in terms of the actual passing plays, I don't think it's an issue of like, hey, they've totally ripped up the playbook and it's brand new this season. So I would doubt that that's just a matter of, hey, get more reps in it and it's going to look better.
All right, well, I tell you, speaking of looking better, Shield, the defense is starting to look better. Now, I know competition notwithstanding, I get it. The two offenses they most recently faced aren't necessarily averaging 30 points a game, so I get it. They haven't given up a touchdown, which is still something to build upon. What are you seeing over the last couple of weeks that you like, that you believe is sustainable moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the opposite of what I just said about the offense, where the defense, I can see the guys communicating better and figuring out this scheme and being like, okay, now some of the stuff that Vic Fangio has been trying to get through to us and passing off routes and knowing where each other are and communicating when a guy's running through his own, all those things are showing up in a big way. And I think after that Bucks game, they looked at it and said, man, we have a lot of space in our coverage where this is too easy for the opposing quarterback. We've got to tighten that up. And to your point, Ike, I mean, two games, back-to-back games without allowing a touchdown, and I know the opponents, but still, we've seen Eagles defenses in the past. They go up against bad offenses,
yes.
And it doesn't matter. They still get torched by them. So I actually am pretty optimistic about this defense. When you look at it last week, they didn't blitz a single time in that game, and they had 8 sacks. Like, that speaks to me that the coverage is holding up. You're making the quarterback hold on to the football, and the pass rush is working together. So I really have liked what I've seen from the defense the past 2 weeks, and now we get to see them go up in the next few weeks here. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, some other quarterbacks. So they'll be tested more, but I'm kind of buying what I'm seeing with the defense, if I'm being honest.
Well, you know, one impressive thing from a scheme standpoint is if they're not blitzing, there's still some, they're mixing it up enough to where we're seeing, you know, N'Kobe Dean in the backfield, and we're seeing Zach Bond in the backfield. And so they're finding ways to get the linebackers to pressure the quarterback without blitzing them, you know, and that's,
yep.
I guess that's part of having guys, you know, we saw some stills of, you know, Brandon perhaps being in coverage, mm-hmm. and mixing it up a little bit. So that's another point in Fangio's on Fangio's side, I think.
Yeah, it's not vanilla. It's not, hey, just line up 4 guys and those are the 4 guys who are going to rush every single down. It's rushing 4 guys, but you're trying to confuse the offense and say, hey, you don't know which 4 guys are going to be coming after the quarterback here. So to your point, you rush N'Kobe Dean, but you're dropping out a defensive end. You're rushing Cooper DeJean from the slot, but the opposing defensive end is dropping back into coverage and taking away an easy slant. So this is what we've seen a lot of defenses in the NFL do, a lot of coordinators do, where they say, hey, we don't necessarily want to commit a bunch of bodies to the pass rush and be short in coverage, but we also don't want to be vanilla and rush the same 4 guys every week. And so you're absolutely right. That was a key to last week where it was, hey, N'Kobe Dean's going to be rushing, but you don't know, you know, who's dropping in coverage, and you make Daniel Jones hold on to the football, and all of a sudden you have a sack.
Shield, this Bengals team, one game below 500, but hey, listen, this might be the best 3-4 football team in the history of the game when it's all said and done. They lost 3 games, Shield. You can essentially say on the last play of the game. I mean, they lost to Washington with that touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin. They lose to Kansas City on a pass interference, which leads to a field goal for Kansas City to win that game. And then the Baltimore game, they missed a field goal. I believe they missed a field goal, right? They missed a field goal in overtime, I think it was. Or no, they got it blocked or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But they went to overtime with Baltimore in a game they should have won against Baltimore. And those are 3 very good teams. This Bengals team is better than a 3-4 team.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. All 4 losses have been by less than 7 points. They've been in every football game. They've got explosive players on offense with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. And T. Higgins, honestly, their passing game, they like to do a lot of what the Eagles do, where Joe Burrow sees those guys one-on-one on the outside, and he says, I'm going to give them a shot to create an explosive play, and they've done that very well this season. So Quinyon Mitchell, Darius Slay, those guys have been playing really, really well, really all season long, but specifically in recent weeks. So that's going to be a test for them. Can they hold up one-on-one when they are in those one-on-one situations against those wide receivers on the outside.
The other thing on the defense is not just a question, not a question, just as more, just an observation and a guess. Vic Fangio can be abrasive, I guess, and you know, I think them playing well helps because it'll help the players buy into him. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll start to see success and everything that he is asking them to do that may be different than they've been done before. Yep. You know, specifically talking about Bryce Huff here right now, maybe when it all starts to work, they'll be like, maybe this guy's not so bad.
Maybe he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah,
it provides some proof. I mean, because if you're getting torched week in and week out and coach is trying to tell you to play a certain way and you don't have numbers and all of a sudden you're getting ripped left and right, then yes, it's tough to believe in it. But Bryce Huff definitely had his best game as an Eagle last week. I think he led the team in pressure. So to your point, now that you have some confidence and you've played well a couple weeks in a row, now it all starts to make more sense for these guys.
All right, Shiel, we all knew, I mean, the whole city knows that you completely blew your prediction last week as you said the Giants would win. I can't even imagine somebody doing that. I certainly would never think. We do want your official prediction for Eagles-Bengals, and all eyes are on you this week, Shiel.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. You know, I think the Eagles are going to run the ball at a high rate like they've been doing here in recent weeks. The Bengals don't allow a lot of explosive plays, so I don't know that there's going to be offensive fireworks for the Eagles in this game. But like I said, I'm kind of buying what I'm seeing from this Eagles defense. The Bengals have an injury there at left tackle. I actually like the Eagles in this game. I think they match up well. I think they're going to be able to run the football well. Like I said, pretty low scoring. I've got Eagles 23, Bengals 20 in a game that really comes down to the last 2 or 3 minutes.
Makeup pick. You don't really believe that.
Listen, I know where my bread's buttered, but it's not my first year in the market, Spike. All right? Yeah, I know what I'm doing here.
All right, there
you
go.
If you go on Cincinnati radio, that's turned the other way.
Yeah, we need to book him in Cincinnati, see what he predicts.
I don't do that. Every on Twitter, theringer.com, you will see the same pick each week. I'll take my medicine if I'm wrong. I can handle it.
All right. There you go.
All right, Shiel.
All right, brother.
There he is.
Talk to you next week, guys.
Shiel Kapadia does not have a go-to meat, but I respect it.
I'll tell you something else that kind of leans in our favor, or could. 3 of the 4 losses the Bengals have are at home.
Oh, really?
Yes. They lost to the Patriots at home, Washington, and Baltimore.
Hmm.
And Corey in Columbus reported that they're not sold out yet.
And so, a whiteout, which you shouldn't be doing at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's tough to have a whiteout during the day.
Yeah. So.
And you didn't factor in also a Jake Elliott revenge spot, a former Bengal.
Bengal.
Whatever.
215.
It's a tough week for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Hooday. Know the difference between Hooday and Hoodat?
And Hoodat. Well, yeah. Hoodat is
Saints.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
And they stole it from the Bengals.
I honestly don't know that one, but that has been a back-and-forth thing before.
Oh, really? That it was stolen?
That it was stolen. I don't know. You're talking about two cities that necessarily weren't known for winning, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, they got to fight over the scraps.
So I don't know who stole what from who.
Can the Eagles keep winning with Jalen Hurts playing this way? 215-592-9494.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Right after we talk to Ken, we may have a change in the official roster of afternoon show callers.
Ooh.
We may have a change, so we'll play you that audio in a second. Ken from Cineminson, you're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What up, Ken?
What do you think about Brian Daboll?
We're not doing that again.
I don't know who you're talking about.
All right, thank you.
I am not in Cineminson. I'm actually in Wisconsin. I will be at Camp Randall this weekend, but I don't give a crap about Penn State. So.
Oh, okay. Ah. There you go.
Does that mean you're not a Nittany Lion, or are you just going to the game?
I am not a Nittany Lion. I am here for a sorority dad/fun uncle weekend.
Ah, there you go.
Awesome.
Sounds like
awesome.
A great time.
Congratulations.
It's always a good Saturday when Penn State loses. So that adds to my weekend, and that'll be even better. I'll have one more spotted cow than normal.
Look, Ken, that is something that you and I can bond on. I am also anti-Penn State, so we are brothers in anti-Penn State.
Do you want me to bring you some Spotted Cow? I'm already bringing some back for seltzer. So.
It's a great beer.
Oh, well, yes.
I was going to say, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I don't know if don't bring seltzer any beer. If you've been around him after he drinks beer, it's not what we want. Just as long as he's drinking it at home, I'm fine with that. So.
Yeah, he's my man. He's my man. Yeah. On the defense real fast, because I want to talk about Jalen, but on the defense real fast, listen, Josh Sweat mentioned a few times this year and towards the end of last year when things were going south, about the pass rushers not working together as a unit.
Yeah. Brandon Graham said that to me a couple of times at the beginning of the season, by the way, too. Not to interrupt, but I heard it from BG as well.
So this is why I'm kind of buying what I'm seeing, because what I see is guys working together as a unit, and I can't help but think back to the New Orleans game where I watched Zach Vaughn blitz right into a B-gap stunt with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, thinking to myself, I'm pretty sure that wasn't drawn up that way. So, now we're seeing free runners for the first time. I can't remember last time I saw free runners on an Eagles defense. So they're not going to have 8 sacks every week, but I do think that I'm buying what I'm seeing. I think that they're pass rushing as a unit, and I think that portends for better defense.
Ken, I mean, this is no disrespect. If you ever bring a B-gap stunt, and you didn't play in the NFL again. what are we doing here?
Man, don't let him discourage you, Ken.
Yeah, just because he
ball,
doesn't.
Man. Yeah, you're talking ball.
I'm over to A-Gapsman.
He doesn't know what we're talking about over
here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just because I didn't play in the NFL doesn't mean I didn't play.
I'm just messing.
Back then, man. We had leather helmets back then. Yeah. So I can't count my concussions. Listen, I think the better comp for Jalen Hurts is actually physically is Baker Mayfield. From a size standpoint, and I see a lot of the same problems with Jalen that we all saw with Baker Mayfield until he became what looks like a pretty good quarterback in the NFL right now. The third down throw that he passed up that became the fourth down touchdown against the Giants last week, he was staring down A.J. Brown from the second that they broke the huddle. And I think the biggest hindrance for him really – reading through his progressions is the decision that he obviously makes pre-snap, even pre-huddle break, that he's throwing the ball to A.J. Brown. And I remember once upon a time when somebody asked Peyton Manning when he was having like one of these record-breaking seasons with the Colts if he had a favorite receiver, and his answer was the open one. Mm-hmm. And that's where Jalen needs to get. Jalen needs to get to his favorite receiver being the open one. I mean, you saw the dichotomy in two plays, right? He passes up the easy first down with a route that's coming right into his vision to throw the ball to Devontae, and then drops a 43-yard dime on A.J. Brown that was just a beautiful throw. So it's kind of feast or famine. The offense is feast or famine. They lead the league in explosive plays, but you can't live on that.
Right.
And I just need him to trust that, you know, all these guys know how to run their routes, and they're going to be where they're supposed to be. Not just see it, but trust it when he sees it and just let it go. And that seems to be taking a little more time than we would like it to take.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with him, only he truly does. I hope the coaches are trying to figure it out. But, I mean, Devontae had 1,000 yards last year. That wasn't with a different quarterback. That was with Jalen Hurts.
Right, yeah.
So it's not as if he doesn't know how to get the ball spread around. Like, for some reason, I think not having A.J. for 3 weeks has made him focus solely on A.J. since A.J. has come back.
Because things got so hard without him.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it's worth bringing up the Kelce thing not being here. Not saying that Jalen isn't capable of doing what Jason did. However, it surely took things off his plate. And there's only so much room. It just shows when I'm doing the show or anybody's mm-hmm. doing anything, you can only remember so many things sometimes. And there's probably so much more that he is trying to process this year compared to last year. I wonder if that has had an effect on
good question.
On that other stuff as well. Ken, next question today. Give us your go-to meat.
So this might be the best meal I ever had. I had it at a place in Bay Ridge called the Chop House like 20 years ago.
Okay.
It was a bison ribeye, and it was out of this world.
Bison.
I have had bison meat before.
Bison
have
ribeye.
You?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right, Ken. I have not had bison.
Yeah, it's...
Sounds like gamey.
I think I only had it once.
Right?
Yeah, it's like a beef.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it had to be braised in something. It wasn't... It's almost like a, not pot roast, but I guess somewhat like a roast.
Fuddruckers used to have ostrich burgers.
Fuddruckers.
Remember the ostrich burgers they had?
Yeah.
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 All right.
I'm not eating that.
No?
No.
Not putting ostrich, that in your mouth?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we have our regular callers here, mm-hmm. you know.
But, love them.
And we have some of our regular callers are dedicated specifically to the afternoon show. They designate themselves afternoon show callers, which we appreciate. We love our regular callers. One of them called the midday show today and changed their allegiance. Here is the audio.
Fucking man, Ari. Hey, Chuck.
Yo, Gilio, what's the dealio here?
What up, man? Hey, Chuck. What's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, man. Sometimes in life, change is imminent, right? So I got an announcement to make. I am officially declaring that I am a midday show caller now. About
94 WIP.
Breaking news.
Now you didn't start.
Get the headline up on the website. Chuck from Mount Airy, officially a midday show caller.
We appreciate it.
Well, look.
Joe's like, get the headline up on the website.
Look,
quick.
I respect Chuck's wishes. Yeah, but I want to let everyone else know that now we have an opening in the roster of official afternoon show callers.
Wow.
Now, you know it gets you priority in all different ways. Well, if he's going to, if we have a spot, then we have a spot. You get up from your seat at the table. You know, you leave the seat. The
especially when you say you're
open.
Leaving.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and you announce it on the
that's
air.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know, so I think what might have happened is that Chuck, now this is my guess, is Chuck called yesterday and we didn't get to him. And I think Chuck doesn't like that he doesn't have the priority.
Right, he doesn't want to wait.
Yes. But now
he doesn't want to wait long.
Right.
That way, yeah.
And as we, you know, we've explained to a lot of our regular callers, we're trying to put everybody in the best position to succeed here.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's not always first, you know, and we have different shows with different vibes. So if Chuck if Chuck doesn't want to play well with others, the other afternoon show callers, and wants to be a midday show caller, that is absolutely fine. But we have an opening now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a foxhole opening here.
Yeah.
So foxhole is big enough. Well, there's a small opening in the foxhole, but an opening nonetheless. So if Chuck moves on, that's it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a huge moment. And I'm not going to lie and say it doesn't hurt. It hurts a little bit.
A little disappointed.
You know, Chuck's always been an afternoon show guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well,
go ahead.
What I'll say is this.
Yeah.
Is this always this happens, I would say. Once
a year.
Yeah, once a year
really?
With Chuck. Where he's like, I'm done, never calling again, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go to a different show. The problem is, there's no show that is as big and means as much at this station as this show.
Right.
And he doesn't get the same, like, you can go to the midday show, but you're going to get lost in translation. I mean, mm-hmm. it's as simple as that. Like,
yep.
you'll go there, everyone's going to forget about you.
Yep.
And then you'll come crawling back. I mean, it's just how it goes.
Look, this,
does she do anything for us?
This is a fun place to be, the afternoon show, but it is a one eye for one, one for all. Is that what it is? Or
it's us though.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. We're
one,
an island.
All
yeah.
for one, one
all
for all.
All for all, all for one, one
all
for all.
All for one,
one for all.
For all.
That's how we are, you know, and that's not for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
Wow.
So we have an opening if you'd like to apply. Just text Jack.
Man.
He loves that.
Man. And I'll just say this. Midday guys. Just tread lightly.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Hell.
We don't want to have to pillage. We'll fight you.
Oh, yeah. And we'll get Elliot after his boxing classes.
Yeah. Well, I'll fight Jillio. I'm not fighting Hugh. Yeah. I'll leave Hugh to you guys.
All right. Me and Jack could take Hugh down.
Yes.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
And
you
Kyle,
and Jack, huh?
Yeah. I mean, Kyle and Jillio together, do they weigh 200 pounds?
Yeah.
You know, it just... The least intimidating show I've seen at this station.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wow. Chuck's out. Okay.
Yeah. That's right. Shocking. Man, shocking moment.
Yeah.
So.
Spike Eskin effect.
Yeah. Well, we gain some, we lose some. You know? Two steps forward, one step back. Two step forwards, one step back. All right.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, man. Coming up next, we, Ike, you know, mm-hmm. as we prove constantly that we are the official Flyer show in Philadelphia.
Oh, we got a Flyers segment coming up.
Yeah, well, we have Flyers in 50, which is now Flyers in 40, actually, I think, because they lost.
Another loss last night.
Again?
Yes.
Yeah, but hold on. Mechkov almost brought him back. He got him to 4-3.
Yeah.
And then they
so he scored a goal last night.
He did score a goal last
okay,
night.
Okay, awesome.
Listen, so if they win or if they lose and Mechkov scores points or, you know, a goal, we take that.
That's still a win. Yeah, that's still a win.
Listen,
yeah.
Picks. We want high picks.
So speaking of Mechkov, we actually have we had him on once months ago. We're very excited to bring him back. We actually have a Russian hockey expert mm-hmm. who is an expert on Mechkov, goes back a long way with Mechkov. Vladimir Smirnov, who we had on once before, just very knowledgeable about all this stuff. So our Flyers and Russian hockey expert, Vladimir Smirnov, is next. You don't want to miss this on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Enjoy all the NFL action with a chance to win on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Now, new customers can bet $5. They get $300 in bonus bets if you win a bet on a game this week. Got a good game coming up tonight. You got the Rams taking on the Minnesota Vikings. I believe that game's in Los Angeles, right, Jack? That game's in Los Angeles.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. Vikings in L.A.
Yes,
taking on the Rams.
Is.
All right. I mean, listen, you go to the FanDuel app, there are a lot of great features there, man. They have the Parlay Hub where you can go in, you can add these bets together, combine them, you know, take a $10 bet and you possibly can win like $300, $400, or $500 depending on the parlay that you put together. All right? And how about FanDuel Squares? A lot like Super Bowl Squares for those of us that bet Super Bowl Squares around that time of the year. Well, FanDuel has that for you right now available. Just visit FanDuel.com/Ike to make every moment more this season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.